Good morning, folks, and welcome to each and one of you this morning. It's great to see you in the Lord's house. It's also very good to be in the Lord's house. I'm very thankful to be able to be here. What a joy it is to come and to share with the church family on the Lord's day. A wonderful, wonderful, beautiful day, and good to be with wonderful people of the Lord. Welcome to each and every one of you this morning. I'm going to share with you from Psalms 5. A few verses reads like this. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. I will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight, nor hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them, and speaketh Lysia, and Lord over the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house, and in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make my way straight before my face, for there is no faithlessness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wicked. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by thy own counsels. Cast them out in the multitudes of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, with thou compassest him as with a shield. He's a great God. Let's worship him together.
For him, a worship is born using number 186, the first and fourth verse, and I'll have the prayer. Let's stand. Privilege you granted us together in your house on the Lord's day, sing songs of praise and hear thy word proclaimed. Be with each individual this morning to open their hearts and mind and see the message of the hour. Now go with us for the further exercise of service, guide, guard, and direct us. Save us in the ends, our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now for communion hymn, we're using number 197, one first and third verse. Blessed assurance Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, heirs of God, born of his Spirit, washing his blood. This is my story, this is my song. Savior, all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praise my Savior, all the day long. Perfect salvation, all is at rest. I and my Savior, and I'm being blessed.
baked it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink therefore of this fruit of thine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Shall we pray?
Father, we're thankful that you sacrificed your Son that we might have life and have everlasting. And for these emblems which we partake of and remember to thee, we pray that you'll be with us this morning. We ask that you be with each and every one here today because we're in the Lord's house. Forgive us when we fail these big things and bring us more than this message to you. We ask in name.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for all the blessings we received as we bring a portion of these blessings back through our tithes and offerings. We ask that you multiply them for your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, folks, for participating in our Friday night Fun Food Fellowship night. And as you notice, there's no trophy up front. It goes to the fellows in the back. Me and Omer, we got beat, but we'll be back.
What'd you say, Billy?
What?
I didn't hear you.
Yeah, so we'll be back.
Oh, what was before that?
We got beat.
Oh, okay.
You were there.
Oh, yeah, you're right. He's
hey, let me encourage some of you fellas. And here's a new real rule for the cornhole game. Mike and Bergen could make a team, and they can challenge Doodle and Michael. And if they beat them one game, they'll be champs. Now, anybody can do that. But now, if somebody beats the next time and they come back, they have to go 2 out of 3. Maybe that's a little hard for you to understand. You understand that, Michael? Yeah. Oh, he likes the one thing. Any new team, that's wrestling rules. Any new team comes up against the champs one time, they will be the new champs. After that, they have to go 2 out of 3 to redeem the champs. Okay? All right. So we encourage you guys to get a partner and go after it and help us to defeat these two guys. They're too good. Okay, all right, but it was a good time, fun time, and it doesn't make any difference whether we win or lose, it makes me mad. No, it doesn't. It's just a good time of fun, you know, it's really a good time of fun. And we appreciate you people. More than such good food, and guys, it was so good. Thank you for doing that. All right, we look forward to those things time to time. Okay, I don't have any other announcements in the way of announcements. We do thank you for people. And Mike, I got an envelope for you. I forgot to give it to you. Don't let me forget. For the people who are getting the information and so forth together for our centennial, thank you for giving me back information that I need and so forth. And keep working on that. We appreciate that so very much. Probably in the next week or two, we'll probably meet a little while together and kind of put some of the things we've got together. Okay, I've got feedback from one preacher that I've contacted several, and we've got feedback from one that will be here, and hopefully get some more back in the next few weeks. All right, as we turn then to our prayer list, and as I was asking this morning, I updated a bunch of those and what to do with them. And I really appreciate you giving me updates on them because it's very helpful for me. And my own prayer list and for your prayer list. And so we, okay, let's look at our prayer list and see what we have that to share with you this morning. The Doss fellow that we had on our prayer list, continue to keep him in prayer. And the little girl from over to Turkey Foot, continue to keep her in prayer, if you will. Doodle's friend, we told you last week, you get along pretty good with the tumor operation. Somebody else I had on that list. Okay. Ann Glass has got three blockages and cannot have surgery. I would like to add this morning also Lynn's wife, Marge, that comes here occasionally. Her daughter, who is a very conscientious person about her health and does exercise and eats supposedly right and everything, has big problems, and they're not sure. They ruled out cancer, did they?
No.
They haven't ruled out?
Yes, cancer.
She has the cancer. Okay, last week they did that. And, you know, so it doesn't make any difference who you are or how you do. You can still be affected by these things. And she does everything that supposedly to do right, to be healthy and so forth, but now then she has been diagnosed with cancer. Our daughter Kay, we had her on our prayer list some time back. Somehow or another, she's really short of breath. She was supposed to make a presentation in the church where they go to this morning, and she's not able to do that because she has trouble, just like Mrs. Cook there, can't motivate without losing her breath. And so we'll pray, if you will, for her. We don't know. She's taken some tests for that, and we thought before they'd kind of had that settled, but it's back. So please pray for us. Who else on our prayer list? All the people on our prayer list there, just kind of keep them in your mind and your prayers and so forth. God is still working good things, and He's still helping people. He will help us, and He will listen to our prayers, and He will answer our prayers. He has done that many, many times. Angela's sister, another one I had on that list, and still in the hospital, not ready, quite sure. She may go to the nursing home, and so just pray that the Lord will have His way and work those things out, and whatever is best, we know that He will do that for her. Again, on our prayer list, I don't have any others on this list that we have here, updates on them other than Ann Glass. Josh Bailey, I believe still in, oh no, he's doing well.
He's better.
He's back to work and so forth. Still have things, right.
In September.
Right. Okay. Thank you for, I had that on my list too. Okay. Thank you. Okay. So, great number of people on our prayer list and a great number of needs in their lives. Vi's not here this morning. She's not up to par today. All right. And, pray for Vi. Vi's, naturally going through a hard time, tough time, and she's needing strength and health and so forth, and continue to pray for her. Who else am I missing here this morning? It's a lot of things that we ought to be concerned about, and we are concerned about. And so help us and encourage them and pray for them and help us to know what's going on and help us to be able to then pray for those certain positions, certain ways and things in their lives. For our nation and for the president, the vice president, all those that are in authority and leading the people and service people that we certainly don't want to get into more and more warring things and such that will destroy young people's lives. The turmoil that we have in our nation of the unrest, that just pray, because that's all of Satan. That's all of his dirty works, really. And so pray against him. You know, we often, I think we pray about those things, but realize where they come from. He is the worker of all evil. He is the destroyer of all good things of God's people, if we allow him to do that. So let's keep him down. As I heard a little fellow last night say, he's under our foot. He's our footstool, he said. But we just need to turn away from him and pray against him that he will not hinder our people and hinder our nation and hinder our world. Those in the care homes, consider them in your prayers always. As we come to our prayer time, much to be thankful for, much to be praying about. God is listening.
For prayer, him using number 220, first and third verse, and Jerry will have a prayer. It's all saying. Seeking for things that could not satisfy, and then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. My brother, if the thing this world gave you leaves hungers that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you. If you kneel, you need to humbly pray. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want to.
Doctors, physicians, hospitals, or no nursing homes, Father, that tend to our elderly. Even Ms. Guy, she's still struggling. And just lift those up, Father, and give special attention. Again, Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, even for the many to bring the message to us. And make all those people much better, Father, that it's on bed of affliction. Again, Father, we thank you for being there for us whenever we need. Thank you for your love and your watch care over us each and every day. And thank you, Father, for many blessings that you give us. And forgive us, Father, where we do fall short. For these things we pray in your Son's heavenly name. Amen.
The invitation hymn be number 385, 385. This time now the choir brothers pray.
Reason.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. And I thank you for last Sunday night at the hymn sing that you shared. And we were right proud of your presentation. You did as good. At this time, a young lady by the name of Samantha Lee is going to show you what she has been practicing on and learning on. Thank you, Samantha. Keep practicing. And someday you might have Kathleen's job. I don't say job, position. It's not a job, is it? It's a pleasure, isn't it? Some reason, I think you need a smile. And I don't usually tell you jokes, you know. But because I believe a couple of you need a smile this morning, I'm going to try. This young lad in school, and the teacher asked, what is your favorite animal? Yeah, favorite animal. They give various one, got the little lad, and he said, fried chicken. She said, that wasn't very funny. He said, well, the whole class laughed. I thought it was. But he said, my father always taught me to be honest and tell you what, you know. And so he said, I'll just honestly tell you, my favorite animal is fried chicken. She sent him to the principal's office, and he told the principal what had happened. The principal laughed and said, now, just don't do it again, Jimmy. So the next day, the teacher says, what is your favorite living animal? And come the little boy, he said, chicken. She said, and Jimmy, why would you say chicken? He said, because you can take a living chicken and turn it into fried chicken. She sent him back to the principal's office. He told the principal, and he laughed and said, Jimmy, don't do it again. Day or so later, the teacher said, who is your favorite person to look up to, your favorite, whatever you call it, the person you look up to, and come to Jimmy? And Jimmy said, Colonel Sanders. Guess where Jimmy went? Okay, if you have your Bibles, we're going to chapter we're going to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. We're speaking today. I am a changed person. In Christ, I am a changed person. Say that with me. In Christ, I am a changed person. Amen. You know, folks, we really need to know who we are in Christ if we're going to live a life that God intended to us and to fulfill our destiny. We need to know who we are in Christ. And we've already said three things, I think, already. This is the fourth thing in this series. In Christ, I am a changed person. God's opinion is the one that counts. And accept what God says about you, and because He's the only one, you know, that really matters. That what He says about you is true. And you just need to believe it, accept it, and go with it. You believe what God says about you, and you will become what God wants you to be. Too often we define ourselves with outsiders, with external standards. You know, for example, we might say, you know, standards like how we look. Or we might say with who our relationships is, how much money we got, what kind of car we drive. These are all actually negative images of us. But God's standard about who we are should reign above all other things that you could come up with. Every person needs to learn who they are in Christ. You need to see yourself as God sees you. Oftentimes, when we look around us and try to judge ourselves by everything else, and even ourselves, we look at ourselves and we judge ourselves, and we judge ourselves wrong, because we are a changed person in Christ. And God says so. In Christ, our sins are forgiven. You're saved. And Jesus said, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he goes on further in 3 and 24, and he says that you are freely justified by the grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe that. Believe that. Many people believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and don't believe they're saved, because they are looking at their inward, in at their self, and judging themselves in a wrong way. When we realize your need for the Savior, when we repent of our sins, when we are baptized for the remission of our sins, you're raised to a new life, a changed life. Jesus emphasized the fact that a person must be born again. He must have a change of life. And that's what we get in Christ Jesus. And I have a couple, three or four things I'd like to share with you, encourage you, and speak to you about that you are, that we are. In Christ, I'm a changed person. And I say that for me and for you. And so it's the same as you saying it when I'm saying it for myself, you're saying it for yourself. In Christ, I am a changed person and have passed from conformity to transformity. Now, if you want an example, the best example I can think of where a life was transformed was in Luke 8. And when Jesus came into the land of the Gadareans. And there in verse 26 through 36, he tells a story about this man who was going through the tombs. And it tells that his life was just a torment to everybody. A destruction to himself. An evil person. And when he met Jesus, his life was transformed. He became a changed person. He no longer run through the tombs. He no longer irritated the people in town or anyone around. In fact, he was changed from one who would harass people to one who Jesus told, well, he even wanted to go with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, you go back and tell the people at home what has been done to you. So you can see him as a very changed person. So when I talk about a changed person, don't say that's drastic, because that can happen to you. It can happen to anybody. There are people who are similar to this man who are living lives that are destructive to others and destructive to themselves. When they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're a new person in Christ. Their life has changed. And so in Christ, I'm a changed person, and I pass from conformity unto transformity. In Christ, we become a different person, a new person. In Christ, the person of God would have you to, you become the person of God would have you to be. If you're really in Christ, following Christ, you will be that person that God has designated you to be. It is then the Holy Spirit begins to work in you and begins to transform you into the person of Christ. the person of God would have you to be. Now, poor example, but is this. I've been a Christian for 45 years, believe it or not. But you see, I'm not the person I used to be. I'm not the person I ought to be, and I'm not the person I used to be because Christ is still working on me. I was looking at some things the other night, and Omer, if I understand right, has been here in this church for about, how do I have that figured? 63, 70, almost 80 years. In 10, you'd been here 63 years, I think it was. And see, as much as I love Omer and as righteous man as he is, God's still working on him. We never outgrow it. God is always working on us. The Holy Spirit making us to be that person we ought to be in Christ Jesus. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind to the good and acceptable thing of God in Christ Jesus. The best way to renew your mind is to express the transformation that's taking place in your lives, knowing and thinking and speaking what God says you are. Now, if you don't do that, you'll misjudge yourself. Speak what God says you are out of this book right here, and you will be doing what God would have you to do. Listen, folks, you've got to train yourself to do that. I, like everybody else, catch myself at low points, believe it or not. And I catch myself judging myself by things external. But I must speak to myself day in and day out of whom God says I am. If I go by what people say I am, if I go with what the thoughts that some people have of me, if I go with what some people say of me, man, that's a real downer. But if I go with what God says I am in Christ, you want to get on a real high? Try that day in and day out. I had a list, and I didn't bring it this morning. I should have, and run off a bunch of copies and gave to you. But I mean, I could list the list that long of what God says I am in Christ. And so you can just pick those and mention those, you know. I'm not a failure. I'm a success in Christ. I'm not a loser. I'm a winner in Christ. I mean, you can just go down the line of those. I'm not sick. I'm healthy in Christ. I mean, just go with those things. You got to keep reminding yourself of who you are because the world wants to remind you who you're not. And that brings a sad situation most of the time. Train yourself to tell yourself you are what God says you are in Christ Jesus. And one of the things you are, you're a changed person. You're a changed person. To live the effective life, to live the effective Christian life, might I say, we need to know who we are in Christ, and we need to believe who we are in Christ. That's have faith, isn't it? Have faith. Believing who you are. Identifying with Christ. Understanding your identity with Christ. Crucial to living a victorious life. You may think that you're very successful in life, but until you can identify with Christ, have that new person in Christ, you'll not have it. The best way to renew your mind is exercising the transformation is by thinking, believing, and knowing who you are in Christ. Speaking that daily, who you are. You have to train yourself. Say those things. I'm saying this over again. I hope you'll latch on to that. You've got to train yourself. You've got to say those things over and over. If you don't, Satan will fill your mind with negative things. God says you are, if God says in His Word, you are, you are. What Satan, the old devil, tries to do is get to doubt yourself, and you just have to train yourself to tell him who you are in Christ Jesus. When Satan says you're a loser, you tell him, no, God says I'm a success. I'm a victor. He will tell you, Christ will tell you, Satan will tell you anything to discourage you. And you need to know really who you are in Christ to combat that. Because of you, who you are in Christ, God wants you to do more in life than you imagine. You know, if you could just stop and imagine what God, and look in this little book here, and imagine what God has in store for you. You know, it says, and he uses that really terms, you know, God has in store things that you just can't imagine, Paul says. And you got to realize that. You got to believe that. Now, secondly, this in Christ, I'm a changed person. I no longer desire the flesh. And I seek to bring glory to God. 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world for the things of the world. If anybody loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eye, the pride of and the pride in possession is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and those things will pass away also. If we are not seeking to find our identity in Christ alone, we'll find it in something else. This fellow that first I read about it, he committed suicide. And now they come up with the thing that, well, he might have just went on the balcony smoking and fell over the balcony. That was one of Gaga's friends that she lifted up and made famous. It's got all the tattoos and so forth and such. And he went forth advertising that. That was his identity. And I'm not being critical to that. I mean, that's the story of it. But see, what I'm saying is this. If you do not identify with Christ, you're going to identify with something. And there are people out there that Satan has them identifying with things that are destroying their life. And if I had to make a judgment of that young man, that whatever happened to him, whether he committed suicide, whether he fell off, whatever, I'd have to say Satan destroyed his life. He had him in his hand before. He had him in his clutches. If we don't seek to find identity in Christ, then we're going to seek it in something else. However, when our identity in Christ, we are identifying with the eternal things. We will not be crushed. You know, if we identify with Christ, we won't be crushed by our failures. You know, I hate to even mention, but I read so much of this. So many young people who just seems like things are not going right in their life, and they just seem like they're failure, and they just want to get out of life. If we don't identify with Christ, those things will crush us. But if you identify with Christ and know who you are in Christ Jesus, those won't crush you. You'll be able to live above them. You'll be able to go above them. We won't get lost seeking the attractions of the empty things that the world has. And that's what happens to so many. Seeking all the things, and I'm not against pleasure. I've told you that many times, and never think that I'm preaching against pleasure. God wants us to enjoy life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That means he wants you to enjoy life. But when the enjoying life becomes an obsession and you identify with the pleasures of the world and the heartache comes, you're going to fall. But if you identify with Christ Jesus, he will give you strength through the Holy Spirit to endure those things which comes your way. And where she has our verse, you know, these things are not going to bother us, are we? Why? because God will not bring those things that you will not be able to withstand because you're a changed person in Christ Jesus. I was going to get Angela to recite that, but I won't embarrass her. She can do it. Yeah, all right. She's shaking her head. She can do that. She knows that. That's great. Now, so you're a changed person. And you're going to seek to bring glory and honor to God. And not going to be caught into the world things and caught up into those world things that brings destroy and destruction. Now, the third one is this. In Christ, I am a changed person. Therefore, I will no longer fear the future. I believe that's a problem with many people. People tonight will go to bed fearing what tomorrow's going to bring. Yeah. You ever do that? I would venture to say that everybody has. I have. Because I'm in Christ, I'm a changed person, I don't fear the future. Amen. Romans 8, 14, 15, for as many of us that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, for we have not received the spirit of bondage, again into fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we call Abba, Father. If you remember the first of this series, you remember what that was? Because I am in Christ, I am a child of God. If you be a child of God, you don't have to fear the future. Who was it said that we have nothing to fear but fear ourselves? Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of the presidents of the United States. And if you go back and study that, what was taking place when he said that, here's what was taking place. Economy was worse than it is today. And fear had come upon people because of the poor economy and what it might bring. And he made that statement, fear. And he said it in a way that it destroys. And so when he said that, looking at the economy, and the people were caught up in that, and you know what they were doing? They were running to the banks, and they were taking their money out of the bank, and that was going to destroy economy worse than ever. So he says, the only thing that we have to fear is fear itself. If you fear the future, you probably are going to experience some destruction. You're going to experience some of those things that you really don't need to or don't want to or shouldn't. Because out of fear causes bad things to happen, I guess is a fair word to say. The people had feared a financial crisis. Being fearful of things or happenings will more times than not cause greater damage. If you feel you're failing in health, you probably will be failing in health. Is that right? If you fear you're failing on your job, you're probably going to be failing on your job. If you fear that you're failing in your marriage, you're probably headed for divorce. Fear. In Christ, I'm a changed person, and I have no fear for the future. We need not fear financial situations. We do not need to fear measles epidemics and our faith being ridiculed, you know, sometimes. You know, these things are painful and so forth. There's no doubt about that. You know, life really isn't easy, and Jesus didn't promise us it would be easy. And sometimes we face some pretty painful things, and they're not easy. But if we have confidence that our Heavenly Father knows all that's going on, He knows all that's going on in our nation. He knows all that's going on in Kentucky. He knows all that's going on in Porter. He knows all that's going on in this church. He knows all that's going on in your life. If our Heavenly Father knows all those things that's going on, why do you fear those things of the future? Do you not think that He is big enough to handle those? He created all that you see and made you and me. He can handle those things. Because I'm in Christ, I'm a changed person, and I no longer fear the future because I have a Heavenly Father that cares for me, and you have too. You see, He cares so much that He bought us. He paid a price. He bought us with the blood of His Son, that we could claim our identity of in His righteousness. Not mine, but Paul says it's not our righteousness, it's we're righteous in Christ. God bought us through His Son, and we can trust that He will provide everything we need in this world. Our identity in Christ gives us direct access to the Heavenly Father. When you were a child, whatever you wanted, you went to the Father. You went to your Father and asked your Father. And if it was reasonable, your Father gave it to you. And there's no difference. Our Heavenly Father is so much greater. And what is it you need today? Lastly and quickly is this. In Christ Jesus, I'm a changed person and no longer judge myself by others, but seek to please God alone, whom we identify with. This is a little bit of talked about a moment ago. Comparing ourselves with those around us and judging our decisions that others make of us makes life suck. And it'll suck the life right out of you. Lifeless people. If I live on what other people did or what they say or think, but I realize in Christ I'm a child of God. And I know that you that are in Christ are children of God. Comparing ourselves with others can create unnecessary disappointments. It causes insecurity. And that's when a person is insecure, they do things that they should not do. Insecurity causes people to do things that destroys their life. And if we're in Christ, we're secure. Romans 14 and 5:8 says, one person esteems one day another as a better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth day regardeth unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord and giveth thanks for it, and he that eateth not to the Lord doth not give thanks for it. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Another way we can compare ourselves is by the gifts and blessings of others. But we are all created with special gifts. Everyone, their talents. And God has given us something to do in our life. You know, we can give glory and honor to God by being a president of the bank. We can give glory to God by being a CEO of some big company. And we can give God glory by being the caretaker or the guy that takes care and cleans the church and so forth. So regardless of who we are, who we identify, if we identify with Christ, we have Father. Listen, folks, let us not miss out on the blessings of whom we are, serving in Christ, where we are and what we are. So I say to you this morning, we who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ are changed persons. And we need not to be afraid of the future. We need not to judge ourselves by others. We need not to conform to the world. We just need to know who we are in Christ Jesus. In Christ, you are a changed person. I look out there and I can see you people out there And I can visualize maybe what you used to be, because I know what I used to be. But I looked at you and I can see changed persons out there. I see Christ living in you. I see good things happening to you because you identify with Christ Jesus. And I hope you'll always remind yourself of who God says you are. You are, and the number one thing is you are a changed person in Christ Jesus. Now, if Christ, you are a changed person, and you should experience the changed life in Christ. If you're here this morning and you haven't had a changed life, we invite you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Him to change your life this very day. Stand, sing the first verse only of our invitation hymn. Kneel at the cross. He will meet you there. Kneel at the cross. He'll find you there. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. And as I say oftentimes, it's really encouraging, and I hope that you've been encouraged by being here. And I want you to be fully persuaded who you are in Christ Jesus. And Kathleen doesn't have her pencil, but she'll remember. If you'll just remember, F-A-I-T-H, fully assured in the heart. That's where you believe with, fully assured in the heart. And if you're fully assured in the heart that you're a changed person in Christ, you just can't imagine what God has in store for you. God bless you as we go. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for these good people gathered here in the name of Christ. My Heavenly Father, you bless them as they leave this place. This week, my Heavenly Father, they experience things they just haven't imagined yet, because they have sought Christ, Almighty God, our Savior. And Heavenly Father, now help us and bless us and give us a safe week, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.